Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, the story we'll start with this morning. Compulsory jabs. Pressure grows on anti-vaxxers. A growing number of countries and territories around the world are forcing people, often in specific sectors, to be vaccinated against COVID. At the Vatican, in Italy, Britain, Russia, Kazakhstan, France, Pakistan, all these countries making it compulsory, mandatory for people to get. And in the United States, the city of San Francisco has announced it will require all municipal employees to be vaccinated or they could face penalties up to and including dismissal. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, in a recent post-ABC poll has earned high marks for his handling of the pandemic. But many Republicans are resisting the vaccine in the United States is completely political.
It's just ridiculous. Look, this is absolute Trumpian nonsense. He got the disease, he got the vaccine, but those who follow him seem to be in a mood to reject the idea of a vaccine. Now, how that became political, I'll never know. I happen to be a big believer in everybody getting the vaccine and making it compulsory. Look, we know that this will save lives. It is the kind of thing which we ought to be doing, and we're not. We say civil liberties are more important than saving the population. And what kind of civil liberties? You know, the idea that these are choices that people make, and we see it all the time. They're dying. Now, sure, you'll find somebody who died after they took the vaccine, one. But when you take a look at the way in which this is all happening, you find that people who did not take the jab are at much greater risk than those who did. Look, government is here to protect. To me, the idea of making this compulsory is correct. I doubt it's going to happen, but it seems like the logical thing to do.
On the path, the 2022 GOP candidate center pitches on Trump's false election claims from the Washington Post. Across the country, Republican contenders at every level are echoing fraud claims. As the 2020 election becomes a central issue for the 2022 midterm elections, and I guess there's a good chance they could pull it off.
David, this is so scary. I just can't even imagine what it all means. If taken to its natural conclusion, the end of democracy as we know it. Look, the states obviously have tremendous power here. That's why the Electoral College is so scary. And now these state legislatures are passing rules and laws where only the Republicans can win. It's not right, but it could, in the end, elect a Donald Trump. It is, to me, as scary as anything that I have ever read about or seen. Certainly in my years looking at state and federal government, I've never seen anything this scary, because this could be the end of democracy if it's allowed to go. And to me, it is beyond understandable that we would do this to ourselves and not face the consequences that it will bring.
What can the Democrats do?
Well, first of all, they're going to have to bring suit where they can. You know, the Supreme Court of the United States is clearly a Trumpian Supreme Court. It's 6-3, we know that. Nevertheless, when things got too ridiculous, they said no. And we have to hope that they will continue to say no as this business of trying to steal the election goes on. To me, the Supreme Court, if it goes wrong, risks a tremendous amount. It risks expansion of the court. It risks diminution of what people in this country, and that's very important, think of the court. So what can Democrats do? What can sane people do? They can say, no, you're not going to do this, and we're going to bring suit and everything else we can, and we're going to fight like hell. You know, in the end, this is the kind of thing that creates civil war. Because if somebody tries to steal your country, steal your democracy, steal your election, what are you supposed to do? You have to fight like hell.
Well, that's what we're not doing now in Afghanistan, Alan. America's forever war is rapidly winding down, and the U.S. Embassy and other diplomatic missions in Kabul are looking at a worsening security situation and how to respond. Is this a problem for Biden and the administration?
Absolutely, because it's a no-win situation. Let's face it, we're going to get out of there, and there will be consequences in that people will die. Women will suffer. Talk about second, third, and fourth rate treatment of women. It's just awful. And we're going to get story after story about how all of that is happening. That can't be good for Biden. On the other hand, Biden is taking us out of there. He says, that's enough. We're not going to do any more. What I'm interested in, David, is how many people in the country are saying this is a time we, the citizens of Afghanistan, have to fight. We have to say, this is not acceptable. We have to fight the Taliban. We have to be there. We have to do everything we can to make sure that we don't regress in this country to the kinds of things that we have seen in the past. And, you know, it may work. In other words, there may be enough people who say, this is the time that we have to fight. We have to get our guns. We have to say to the Taliban, no, you're not going to kill us. We'll kill you. I hate to put it that way, but it does look to me as if that's where we're at.
Right now, we're at a difficult spot in Florida, Alan. Building collapse lawsuit seeks to get answers, assign blame. The legal fallout already underway, says the AP. It includes at least five lawsuits and a planned grand jury investigation. Litigation comes even as rescuers remain at the site, hoping to find survivors. 28 people have been found dead, and more than 117 residents are thought to still be missing. Of course, over the weekend, we saw the remainder of the condo demolished. The tragedy here is almost immeasurable.
David, it is. We can all project ourselves into this kind of thing. That's what makes it such a nightmare for America. Obviously, we're going to have to take a good, hard look at how we certify buildings. We're going to have to take a good, hard look at who's doing the inspecting and whether once the red flag is raised, people will respond to it and say, no, I'm getting out of here. So Americans are going to have to take a good look at the way in which we inspect our buildings and the way in which the people who are responsible for those buildings are told they have to do it and do it right. Because right now, it is clear in that one case, it didn't happen.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.